Wani and everybody, welcome back to the Mawadissing Show. I am Nicole Bakinage.
And I'm Shirley Nordrum.
Today we are up in Red Lake and we're visiting with Mike Donnell. Bonjour, Mike.
Bonjour, how you doing?
Pretty good. Miigwech for agreeing to do this, and I know you're a busy guy and taking that time out. And so yeah, we just wanted to know your story about the different styles of art that you work with. You know, you're a pretty unique artist because there's not too many Shinab tattoo artists. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about your story there and the different styles of art that you work with?
Sure, not a problem. First, I just want to thank you guys for coming up. It's an honor. I've been tattooing for going on 24 years. I started real young when I was 15. I'm 39 now. I have my own shop. Everything's professional, clean, sterile. And when tattooing, you know, that's one of the biggest issues that a lot of young people don't realize when they're getting homemade tattoos is the diseases that can be transferred. Hepatitis can live outside the body for up to 8 weeks, which is really scary because there's different stages, A, B, and C. And C can start shutting down organs just like HIV can. And so everything has to be clean, sterile. You know, I've been to a lot of tattoo conventions, I've been to a lot of shops, and I hate to say that even some shops, they don't, you know, really wrap their equipment like they should, you know, wrap the cords that go from the power unit to the gun, you know, wrap the guns, which they should because of the high risk of cross-contamination of blood. But at my shop, you know, I do all of that, everything's professional, new needles every time, new tubes, and my style's pretty versatile. I like to tattoo everything and anything. The designs I like the most are probably the hardest ones where I can really, this way here, I can really showcase my skill. I've been drawing since, basically since I was in Pampers. I'm located here in Red Lake, Highway 1. On Facebook, I have a Facebook page which is Warrior Tattoos. I don't update that one as much as I should. Most of my stuff goes right to my personal page. They can find me on there. It's WarDog100Souls. If you have Instagram, you can find me on there. It's Instagram/WarDog100Souls. And that's also linked to my Facebook page. And if you do go to my Facebook page, you can find most of my work in my Instagram folder that's in my photo albums. I have it all linked right to there. You'll see a lot of my different styles. One of my favorite ones to do is probably the headdresses. I do a lot of those, especially when I go to tattoo conventions at other casinos. A lot of natives will see the headdresses I do on the banners that I have, and they really like that style.
So you said you've been drawing since you were in Pampers. What inspired you to move into the tattoo business, the tattoo part of art?
Well, I got my first tattoo, a homemade tattoo, from my cousin's friend when I was 15. And, you know, I thought that was probably just the coolest thing ever, you know, being that young. I regret it now because the tattoo I got was my own name, which is now, to me, it's stupid. You know, but at that time, it was like the coolest thing ever. But now I'm looking at myself and I'm like, why the F did I get Mike put on my arm, you know? Being an artist, and after doing all the tattoos and years of tattoos that I've done, it's my name is in a place on my arm where it just gets in the way of where so much other nice art could have went. And so I try to tell like people when they come, I can see getting a spouse's name and things like that, but your own name, maybe your last name, yeah, but not your first name, you know. It's crazy because I do so many cover-ups, you know. Sometimes a couple will come in and I'll think that they've been together for a while, you know, the way they act. I'm like, oh, they're getting each other's names. And I'm like, how long you guys been together? And a couple months. And needless to say, they're back in a couple months getting it covered up. But, you know, there's just so many fun, cool stories from tattooing. I've met so many people. I've tattooed lawyers. I've even tattooed a pastor. I've tattooed so many people and so many meaningful stories behind the tattoo, and that's what some people that don't have tattoos, sometimes they don't understand is the therapy of it, why people get tattoos, you know, and it can also be a healing process for when you lose a family member, especially the memorial tattoos, you know, those ones I hold really close. It basically, when you're getting a tattoo, your body releases what's called endorphins, and those are natural painkillers that your body releases. Like if you were to break your leg, break your arm, break a bone, get into some kind of accident, the endorphins take place, they help take place of the pain. They don't take the pain away, but they help the pain become a little more bearable. And when you're getting tattooed, maybe like 20 minutes to 45 minutes, everybody's different, your endorphins will kick in, you know, and they'll help take the place of the pain. And sometimes for certain people it gives them that euphoric feeling, you know. And for me, I think the best time to get a tattoo is when you're stressed out, because they don't hurt at all then, and they actually feel good. And when you're done, all your stress is gone. And I know from firsthand experiences, I've gone through that, and I've got a few tattoos, and when I wasn't stressed, and the pain level from there to when I was stressed is a huge difference. And the guns too, you know, I know some tattoo artists that use the old style coil wrap guns where there's magnets, and the magnets are wrapped with copper wire, which transfers the electricity through there. And that's basically how that gun works. And the newer style guns are called rotary guns. So my rotaries cost 30% less trauma, so it's less painful for my client, and it's supposed to heal 30% faster. I really like them. They're not loud at all, so like you can hold a conversation easily with your client. They're quiet, and I love the quality of work that they put out. They're expensive, but they're well worth it.
Yeah, I got a couple tattoos. Well, I got one done by you, and then a cover-up.
Yeah, and that's right. I fixed one
I've had nothing but compliments on it, and I have to comment on the shading. That's skill right there, man. You can't just acquire that over a few years. You gotta, you know what I mean? Like, I've got other tattoos and the shading it doesn't even amount to the quality of yours. And you do good work, man. I know that, like, even, you know you're doing good work when the non-natives in Bemidji are, you know, recommending you and everybody. I remember I went to school and this one was still healing up right here, this big floral piece, and it was I thought was really preppy, kind of non-native chick. And she's like, oh, who did that? Mike Donnell? And I was just like, man, I just thought that was cool because you're, you know what I mean?
Yeah, thanks. I really appreciate that. And my name is getting out there. I've been tattooing professionally since 1999, but I started when I was 15. Basically, when I first started doing professionally, I took my portfolio to another shop. You know, I looked at their work and I was like, hey, you know, I got a tattoo from them. And they asked me what I do for a living. I said, pretty much the same thing you do. So I brought my portfolio one day, you know, and the artist looked at it and said, you know what, you got really good line work, but your shading is kind of choppy. And so I took that advice and I grew from it. You know, a lot of people sometimes when you're honest with them, they'll get butthurt and they tell you, oh, you don't know what you're talking about, and like their pride gets in the way. But being an artist, you have to take all criticism, and you need to grow from it. You can't really dwell on it and, you know, let it hurt your feelings. Otherwise, you won't grow as an artist. So I took his advice. I did a lot of research, a lot of studying, and I sampled different styles. And, you know, and after a few years, it came to me, and I'm grateful that person was honest with me and told me that, because that took me to the next level with my artwork, and then I really learned how to shade after that.
It's quite a skill.
It's got to be kind of hard because you got to have somebody willing to be your canvas while
Not like you can when I started, you know, I had a lot of guinea pigs, a lot of cousins, you know. I started off with just a needle and thread, just wrapped thread around the tip of a needle and went to town on myself, and after that, my cousins were like, hey, man, give me a tat, man. Give me, you know, hook me up. Like, all right. So I had a lot of fun on some relatives.
So before we pressed record, you were talking about something that happened to you when you were a young man and how that changed your life. Could you share that a little bit?
Sure. You know, I want to say late teens, early 20s, I was... You know, when I was growing up, I got in a lot of trouble, and art for me is, besides my wife and my children, is basically my savior. I remember a time when I was sitting in county jail doing 90 days, and there was this elder that came in, and he was doing the remainder of his prison sentence in county. He got out early, and He seen me drawing all the time, and he said, you know what, Mike? He said, there's 10 of you for every 12 of us that's in there. He said, you know, so you guys are a dime a dozen. And he said, don't be one of those guys that's in there just wasting, you know, wasting that talent away. He said, you know, you're so good, you know, do something with it. And he said, but don't just do art. He says, there's no rules. There's, you know, there's no rules to life. You don't have to limit yourself. You know, and I really, you know, me and him, we got into some really deep conversations about life and philosophy and what we're taught and, this, you know, what we have learned and our thought processes when how we're taught in school versus our freedom of our mindful thinking, you know. And when I got out, I remember the first day I got out and it was snowing, and I was like, I had to get on my knees and kiss the ground, and you know, just being so thankful I was free. And from that moment on, I remembered everything that that guy told me, and I always look back on it, and I changed my life after that. You know, I got tired of being in jail. You know, when you're young, you know, going out partying and stuff, and you're young, you know, you want to have fun, and but there's more to life than that. And if you get caught up in a negative lifestyle, and it's just going to eat you up and swallow you whole, and it's going to throw you in, and it's going to constantly keep you out of that. And it's something that's so hard to break out of if you don't set goals for yourself, you know. And you have to have a plan, and you have to try to pursue that plan. And even if you fail, at least you tried. And that was basically my motto when I got out. I said, you know what, it don't even matter, as long as I try, you know. And,
yeah.
And I never really realized what I could accomplish until I tried. And man, now, I mean, I have my own tattoo shop. I DJ on the side. I also started a t-shirt company with my dad. I graduated tribal college up here, entrepreneurial business. Wrote a business proposal plan, and me and my dad went to the bank, got a loan for to start up my t-shirt business. And so I do that on the side as well. It's called Mike D's Custom Tees. That's also on Facebook, if you can throw me a like on there. Just got done with a big contract for the local women's shelter up here, the Ikwewigamig. Also the boxing coach up here. When I was younger, I did some boxing. I think sports, man, is pretty important for kids. You know, it helps keep kids off the street. And it's also a positive event. And what boxing did for me was I love the discipline that it taught me. And I carry that every day in my business. You know, the discipline of doing the same routine over and over. And so I use them work ethics in my business style. But back to that story with the elder. You know, I got out and I, you know, just mashed on my dreams and focused on my art, my tattooing. Which, and I took his advice about not limiting. So what I did, I was like, I'm pretty creative, so I didn't just leave it to drawing. You know, I used to write poetry in school when I was in high school, but back then, you know, for guys, poetry wasn't like the macho thing to do. So I always kept it to myself, and I still kind of wrote here and there, but I kind of changed it into lyrics for music, and I started working on music, and I actually been working on music since 1999 as well. Some of you guys might have heard of Res Rap Records. I was one of the co-founders for that. Baby Shell, Garlic Brown, Thomas X, NPC3, which is Big Moberg, That Maniac Zach, Demo. Also, we also have another arts guy. He's really good. His name is William McKenzie. He goes by DJ Divewire. He's also our DJ. Garlic Brown is Peter McKenzie. That's his brother. He's our engineer. And yeah, just a lot of talented guys. And I love the fact that you never have to limit yourself in life. You know, there's no rules. And a lot of kids will see drug dealers, for example, you know. And I've had friends that have been tried to make the fast buck and ended up in prison. And they're smart, you know, really smart guys. No matter how smart you are, you know, somebody along the line is going to mess up. But if you take those smart guys, and if they were just to apply that energy to a business, you know, they wouldn't have to be sitting in prison. They could be out here making millions. And that's what I'm trying to do, you know, just make money in a legit way where they can never take it away from me and help sustain my family and you know, teach my kids, you know, the skills that I've been taught. My daughter, I have three daughters, two sons, and another child on the way. My oldest daughter's 14. She gave me a tattoo when she was 12. So she's a good artist. My other daughter, who is 12 right now, she's a good artist too. And she'll be, I think, a way better artist than I am, because when I was that age, I wasn't as creative as she is, and there wasn't really nobody to help teach me, and I'm here to teach her. So I think she'll be really good.
Is that when you posted that video of her?
Yeah.
Doing your dad? That was cool. I showed my daughters, and they're just loving it, man. They were loving it.
I think that's one of the greatest gifts we can give our children or our community is to, it's kind of like lead by example, you know. You're energetic and you're creative and you're putting all that energy into positive things. So you said something that was kind of interesting to me. I don't have a tattoo, just a little homemade one from a long time ago, and it was pretty painful, so I never did that again. But you said you went to tattoo conventions. That's pretty interesting to me. I guess I didn't know that there were tattoo conventions.
Yeah, what a tattoo convention is you have to, as an artist, you pay to go. You pay a fee. And it's basically a convention where there's like 60 to 100 artists, depending upon how big the place is and how many people the promoters invited. And all you do there is you tattoo from 9 a.m. till 1 a.m., you know, for 3 days. And it's usually Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And people will pay at the door. They'll pay a fee to get in, maybe $25 for the whole weekend, or $10 for one day, or $15 for one day. And then you go in there, you walk around, and you pick whichever artist that you want to tattoo you.
Oh, cool.
And I have my banners, you know, have my work on them. A lot of my native style tattoos on them. And when I go to casinos, I'll get a lot of the native locals. I went to South Dakota. I actually just got done over in Hinckley. They had one over there. And I entered a contest over there. Usually I don't enter contests, because if you don't win in a contest, you don't get nothing. And when you're sitting there doing the tattoo for the contest, you're going to lose out on money, because people are going to walk by. They're going to want a tattoo, but you're busy doing the design for the contest. And well, this contest, it was pretty cool. I took second place for King Ink. It was really an honor just to stand on stage with the top three artists that were there. And there was a lot of good artists there. I did bring home a trophy and some cash. And I love the fast-paced style of the tattoo convention. You know, it's just constant grind, just constant work. And I love that. And I took my daughter with me one time, and I think it was a Saturday, and it's probably like 3/4 of the day had gone by, and she's like, "Holy daddy, you've been working all day, ain't you gonna eat?" And I'm like, "I ain't got time to eat, baby, I'm making money." All I had time to do was just drink water, and just drink water, that's it.
That's cool. So what was the tattoo at second?
The tattoo that took second place, we all had to use their logo, and it had to be within a 5x5 inch radius, a square, and it was a ribbon that said "Tattoo You," and we could design it any way we wanted. So what I did with mine is I put mine on a treasure chest, and the treasure chest was opening, and there was a hand coming out with a tattoo gun and smoke coming out around the hand. And it was cool, because a lot of artists like afterwards came up to me and said that I got robbed, which really made me feel good, you know. Like, the one that did win, mine was just black and gray, no color. And I felt if somebody did beat me, it would be a color tattoo. And the one that did beat me, it was a color one. It was, they made it look like the ribbon was stapled to the person. So there was a staple going through it, and there was blood dripping. But mine, I had so much detail. I think it took me like 5 hours to do a 5x5 section. I threw white highlights in there. Man, it's real good. I got it on my Instagram and then on my Facebook page.
So did you say you drew it?
Yeah, I designed it right there on the spot. Not their logo, but the rest of it I drew.
So do you get time to think about that, or do you just like sign up for the contest and then boom, they tell you what
you gotta do? You get time. You probably get like an hour, maybe, I think. At that time, I had an hour's notice.
Okay, then. I meant like a week or a month or something.
No. Speaking of, you know, a week, months, I'm constantly always drawing for a lot of people. So if somebody comes to me with a design, they can get in way faster. And right now I'm drawing for 22 people. If somebody else comes, they're number 23, and then they got to wait, you know. So I've had people waiting 6 months for me to finish the design because of my crazy lifestyle. And it's... It's real cool, though, to hear them say, you know, it's worth the wait. As I tell them, you know, I'm not going to get butthurt if you go to somebody else. You know, that's fine. You know, this is a tattoo for you, and it's got meaning to you. And, you know, and they're like, no, but I want you to do it. I've seen your work. And so to me, that's, I'm real honored for that.
That's what I'm always telling people. Man, just wait for my, it's a guaranteed quality and cleanliness. And you know what I mean? It's just, you can't lose.
And I try to approach each tattoo, even if it was going on a woman, I try to approach it as, okay, if this was me getting the tattoo, how would I want it to look? I try to put, you know, my pride into every tattoo. And I always try to go above what the client is paying. It don't matter if the time has gone past or it's gone past the money. It's not about the money for me. It's about the pride. And I think a lot of artists nowadays, they forget about the passion, you know, they're just in it for the money. And of course, money's cool. Of course, money pays the bills, but that's not what it's all about. And I've known, ever since I was little, all I've ever wanted to do was be an artist, get paid off my art, and get married and have kids. No, I was the only kid growing up, and so I didn't have no brothers or sisters. I've always wanted a big family, and I'm very blessed to be able to be living both of my dreams.
Thank you for your time, Mike.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
I thank you guys, you know.
Visiting with you, this is awesome.
For everybody out there that's, you know, that's in the hip-hop and stuff, I work on music. I have a CD on iTunes. You can look me up under War Dog, WARDOG, and the CD is called Breathe. It's pretty versatile. It's basically got a song for every emotion you can think of. There's dark music, there's uplifting, there's party, there's deep. Everything you can think of is on there.
All right.
Glitch.
Yep, well, thank you guys.
This program has been funded by the Legacy Arts, Culture, and Heritage Fund of Minnesota.